what's up, friends? Welcome to Rescue Your Own Damn Self, the podcast, where each and every week we take an epic journey down our own magical yellow brick road with kick-ass guests sharing their silly stories, awesome analogies, fearless failures, tragic tumbles, empowering aha moments, courageous comebacks, and legendary or even laughable life lessons. I'm your host, Lori Mork, and I'm fired up and ready to show you that you were the fierce warrior, swinging the damn sword, slaying at life all along. It's time to rescue your own damn self. Erica Bigelow is the host of the Living and Loving Life podcast. She helps people find their balance spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, and socially. As a life coach, she helps her clients develop a positive mindset, a renewed outlook for themselves and their future. Her podcast sends a message that everyone is made beautifully, inside and out. She wants her listeners to shine and be an example to others as they live fully, completely with no barriers, no burdens, and regrets. Erica, how are you?
I am absolutely amazing. How are you?
I'm amazing. It's so great to meet you. And you're down in the States. I'm up in Canada, and we're both cold though. We're both like, what can we do today to warm up?
Yeah. I'm
thinking we're going to warm up because we're talking about a subject that I love talking about, and that is self-love.
My favorite.
But there's a bit of a misconception, I think, about self-love, because I have clients all the time say, well, of course I love myself, but like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be more selfish? What does self-love really mean to the listeners listening out there? Because I think we have a bit of a skewed perception of what self-love is and what it really means.
Yeah, I get that with my clients all the time too. You know, the first thing they want to say is, isn't that selfish? And, you know, I'm going to take myself first. But the true reality is this: we can be taught anything, correct? But when you actually do it yourself, experience it for yourself, the experience is a whole different way of thinking about it. So what I say, when I'm saying that, I say that to say loving yourself is so important, because then it teaches you how to truly, genuinely love someone else. And when you know what it really feels like and looks like, you can do that for somebody else. But then also it makes your life and you more of a kinder person, more compassionate and more patient, because you know how to treat yourself with all of that, because all of those are what you need to truly love yourself. You need to be kind to yourself. The way you speak to yourself, the way you view yourself, all of these need to be positive ways of seeing ourselves. So those are all little ideas of how to get that self-love. You know, just loving everything about you.
Right. And the word acceptance comes to mind too in that. And what does that really mean? Because I wore this sweatshirt for a reason, and it's my imperfection sweatshirt. I don't know if you can see it. And it truly reminds me every time I walk past the mirror that I'm human and we all make mistakes. I don't love the word perfect. We all have flaws. We all have slip ups, mess ups, fuck ups, everything. And a shirt like this just reminds me of that. And I think in self-love, the word acceptance just kind of flashes in neon lights, I think, for me, for the most part.
And that's great, because I think, and this is just my opinion, is that society has made us think something that's not a reality. So it makes you feel like there's this box that everybody fits into, when if you actually dig into every human, no one is going to all fit in one box, because we're all uniquely made, and you need to be okay with who you are and what that looks like for you. Like you said, acceptance. Who cares that you don't wear a size 2 or that you wear a size 12? Or that your skin is a little darker than mine, or that your hair is a little curlier or straighter than mine. Why does that matter? That's what I have. You need to embrace it and love it and just cherish everything about it.
Well, and I always feel in our society now, again, my opinion, we're chasing the dream. We're chasing the lose 10 pounds. We're chasing the, when I get more money, I'm going to love myself more. We're chasing the 5 years from now or 6 months from now, whereas we're not sitting in the moment now
and loving ourselves now and accepting our body now. And it's hard because, and I think that's the dangling of the carrot that we see all over social media. We see better, shinier, more sparkly all the time. And I think too, we always think we have to be getting better all the time. And it's like, can't we just sit in this moment and how we are now rather than always trying to keep polishing and going after something else all the time?
I love that you use the word polish because I just had driving and I was like, oh, that makes really good sense. It's because, you know, you're a fitness coach, correct? Mm-hmm. So people come to you and like, I want to lose weight. Because in their minds, they think if I lose that 10 pounds, that's where the happiness is. Or if I look like this, I'm going to be happy. Or if I have this huge house, I'll be happy. But if you sit in that for a second and think about it, these are all external things that don't really make people happy. It actually starts within you. And then that comes out. And then you'll start taking care of the exterior once your interior is completely whole and has what it needs to actually be that flower or that tree to blossom into its full capacity.
Well, look at how many really rich people that have all the money and all the toys and all the things in the world, and they're depressed, miserable, and they possibly haven't found self-love. Everything around them is exterior and shiny things, right? It has nothing to do with them.
No, it's that inside core. When you find that, then everything else kind of just falls into place because it's like, the way I think of myself, and it really helps me, is I try to treat myself like I treat my son. Is it a learning process? Absolutely. But so the way I treat him is very delicately. I'm very kind to him. I'm very patient. The words I use, I choose wisely. So I need to start doing that for myself. If I do mess up, I'm a human. There's going to be those days. Don't beat myself up. At least congratulate myself for what I did accomplish for that day and just move forward. Because we're all going to fall short. And if we're okay with that and just basically dusting ourselves off and getting back up, we can always continue to be better. Even if, like you were saying, the people with the money and this and that, they're still not happy, right? So the point of it is, I lost my train of thought. Darn!
Okay. It's I haven't had my coffee yet today, so
I know, and I'm trying to get a little bit of mine.
I was just thinking you're drinking your Starbucks and I'm like, I haven't went to Starbucks yet today.
I'm sorry. What I'm really, really trying to get to is that our society has placed in our brains a program that think bigger is better, more is good, all of that is good. But the truth is we're good. We're good enough. Like you said, be present with who you are today. Can we always be better? Yes, but congratulate yourself to where you are now and where you were. I'm pretty sure everybody has something to be, you know, happy for or an accomplishment that they have achieved. Even if it's, I don't know, run outside for 10 minutes, read a book, 2 pages, whatever that looks like for you, be okay with that. That's good enough. You're trying, and that's all that matters.
Well, and we'll talk about some strategies for self-love in a bit, but how did you start to get involved in helping coach with this? Why did self-love become so important to you? Do you have a story or a journey of how you got to where you are in terms of finding it?
Yeah. So again, people tend to always say, you know, oh, the past is the past. Forget about it. It's over with. It's done. But the truth is, until you start digging those things up to see where you're coming up with these insecurities, why you talk to yourself the way you do, why do you feel the way you do about certain subjects or matters, you can't fix it. It's almost like just putting medication on a wound instead of actually digging to the core of why do you need to medicate? What is the problem? Get to the core problem, figure that out, and I hate to say this, but reprogram it. Mm. Reprogram it to the way that is a healthy way of dealing with it and just wanting to be better. So for me, I don't want to blame anybody because I feel like it's just generations and generations of curses that have come from thousands and thousands of years. And so passed down, right? So people are just kind of doing what they were taught. Does that mean it's the right way of doing things or loving people? The way that the world looks right now, probably not. And I started to see little things like that about me and what I was doing with my son. and I want it better for him. I was like, listen, it took me 35 years to get it together, to start being happy, loving, just walking outside and smelling the air. But what can I do for my son so he can reach that earlier in his life? And by that was just being more of a positive mom for myself, to be a positive mom for him, so that I will be better for him and less negative. Because when we teach that negativity, it turns into what people take into their adult life. And then life just looks so negative, you know? So I'm just trying to make his world as positive as possible so that he can not have so much damage to fix later.
Do you feel that that's why a lot of us struggle with finding self-love, is because of our childhood or teenage years or past? And maybe how our parenting style, or if we didn't have parents around, or if there was a missing parent, it comes from that.
All of it. Everything. Abandonment issues, the lack of self-confidence, the worth. Women without dads, they look for love in all the wrong places. So I wouldn't even say mistakes that people make. I'm going to say they don't know any better until they want to start digging around, unfortunately, you know? So it's almost like you need a drug addict to go to rehab. You can't really help them until they figured out that they have a problem. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? So I was a raging bitch all the time. Okay. I just was not happy. Life just wasn't good. I could find something to complain about in everything. I don't care if we were going to Disneyland. I was mad because we're going to the restrooms, you know, but I had to dig and ask myself, why are you so upset? What's going on? And when I started to dig back, like you said, had things, life experiences that I went through, the way I was brought up, the lack of a father in my home, the way my mom did her parenting. But again, that was something that was taught from her parents, you know, so I don't want to like point any fingers, but I had to start paying attention and taking accountability of like, why are you always in this state of mind? We need to fix that, change that mindset and be in a more positive, lighter life. And ever since I started, my thing is meditation. Meditation is huge for me because it kind of allowed me to take the chaos, turn it down so that I can start to hear what really matters.
And so let's talk about how to's, because that's also very confusing. There's a lot of misconceptions about what self-love could look like. And I mean, everyone has different versions of what their self-love looks like. What are some ideas? What are some ways in which we can start to find self-love?
So unfortunately, like I tell all of my clients, to actually get to a place of finding that self-love, that acceptance, like you said, there's going to have to be some digging. We're going to have to go back to the past. And what I call it is an onion peel. So we're going to have to peel back the layers of life, things that were thrown at you. So you can start to dissect and see what layer did what and why, how it's showing up in your adulthood life now. And then just reprogram it. So just because these things are there doesn't mean like you have to be stuck there and this is all you have. You just have to acknowledge it and understand why your thought process is the way it is because of these experiences, and then just reprogram it to how it fits for you now.
And so do you feel like when you were finding out that you were more negative, that was where you're like, okay, this isn't a trait that I'm liking on myself right now. I'm going to peel back those onion layers and find out why I'm like that. Was my mom like that? Was my grandma like that? And where did it stem from? Mm-hmm. So that then you can move forward and now find tools to be more positive. And anytime you're feeling negative, turn it around.
Mm-hmm. Immediately. And that's something that I teach. We can definitely give this as a tool, is start paying attention to your thoughts. Those matter. People don't even know you can be sitting at the computer and you're doing a spreadsheet. But if your mind is going with all these negatives, it puts you in a funk. You feel like, why do I feel down? What's going on? It's because your mind is going through all of these negativities when you need to change those. Okay. For instance, I say simple things like this and people laugh, but it really makes a difference. You take a sip of your coffee. It's too hot. Oh shoot. It's hot. But thank God I have a coffee to sip, because some people don't even have that. Do you know what I'm saying? Just little things like that. Oh, I stubbed my toe. Okay. It's not broken. We're going to move on. you know? Right. So, because I, even being in a good space and finding that self-love, I'm not saying that life's still not going to throw things at you. But what I'm saying to you is, if your positivity rate is already at 100 and something little happens, instead of you flipping out, you'll just be like, well, okay, move on. Life's not over. It's just a little bump in the road. I can get over it. But if you're already overwhelmed and taken by all of these bricks that you have not let go of, you can't take nothing else, because that could be possibly the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Do you feel like it's hard for people though to dig and peel those onion layers? Because you are really, I mean, you had to look at yourself and say, wow, you called yourself a raging bitch. So you obviously did some digging, but it's hard to do that, right? It's hard to go, wow, I'm not perfect. Like I've got flaws, right? Mm-hmm.
But why is that not okay to say?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, obviously when you also take control of saying it, you're also then in control of changing it and reprogramming it.
Mm-hmm. The mind is an amazing place. It can go either way. You can use it for great or you can use it for bad. And that's just it. So, I mean, if you can sit literally and make yourself actually physically sick with your mind, imagine what you can do with that on positive tips and things with good reason behind it. When I say that to you, when I started to unfold and really live in my truth, I always knew that my calling was to help, right? It was always something. I didn't know exactly how that was going to show up, but opening that positive side of my mind, I feel like I've walked into a mansion of like doors, right? And every door I'm open, I'm like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Let's get to the next door if it's this good already and I just started, you know? Mm. Imagine how deep this really can go and how positive and how happy someone can actually get to.
Right. Oh, that's so awesome. Well, and now your son sees that reflection in you as well. So, you know,
so you're, my we're family teaching members. Yeah. Everybody is like, oh my God. And that's all I want. My goal is just to shine. People see that. And they're like, well, how do I do that so that they can shine? And then other people that I can't be around or that can't see, they're out there to push it on them as well. Almost like a domino effect, right?
Right. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Let's talk about something that I'm 100% guilty of. And it's a struggle when I try to find self-love because I'm a people pleaser. So when I'm trying to help myself and again, find more acceptance for myself, we often bend and shape ourselves to please everyone around us mm-hmm. and keep them happy. Mm-hmm. And we're in a very selfless society. Sure, we're in a selfish society, but if you're a people pleaser, often most of what you're doing is because you don't want to upset anyone else. You don't want to ruffle any feathers. Mm-hmm. How do you come inward and be selfish? Because I mean, selfish always has such a negative feeling around it and it shouldn't. We should be able to say, here's my boundary. Here's me. And this is why I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. So first I would ask, what would that look like for you to set a boundary for you?
Well, I guess it is just kind of stepping back and saying, even though I'm trying to make this other person, because it's the feeling of not being liked by everyone, right? I don't want to upset anyone or make them upset. When I think most people would be upset knowing you're doing something you don't want to do just because you want to please them. But again, you're in that people pleasing stemming from childhood as well, which always danced around and wanted to make sure that I was never upsetting anyone, always keeping them very happy, right? Mm-hmm.
So question for you is, have you accepted what it was for childhood and let that go?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because again, our parents had the tools that they were also given and what they came from, right?
Right.
And there's nothing we can do. We can't blame them because they had the love they had from their parents and onward.
Lori, I'm going to stop you right there because listen, clearly the way it was taught to you didn't work for you because you're outside looking for something better, right? Mm. So even for my parents, I can't put all of the blame on them, but I can put a little bit because at what point did you not stop to say, that didn't feel right for me. So maybe I should not continue that kind of behavior for my children.
Mm. Like you're doing with your son, like exactly. You had that aha moment of, I got to turn this around for him.
Mm-hmm. So I can't completely take everything off of the adults that parent children. You chose to have children. I think it is as a parent's responsibility to try to be the best that they can for their kids. And if something was taught that they didn't like, kind of do some exploring to figure something else out and try it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying your new way might be perfect, but the fact that you did something different would show that to your children that you cared enough to know that this hurts. I'm trying something different. I'm not perfect.
So we talked about people pleasing. What about, and boundaries? You asked me what boundaries would look like. Saying no. And I used to think that was a strength of mine. Like, I never say no. I take on everything. You know, I do everything for everybody. How do you say no?
Simple. No. I know that's cliche, right? Because it's not as simple as it sounds, but that's when that self-love is so, that's why it's so important to have that fit. Because the more you have that self-love, the more you care to do healthier things for yourself. Do those diets, eat healthier foods, moisturize your skin more, take care of little simple things, because now it's like a little baby that you want to make sure is going to grow properly. I lotion my kid up every night and every morning. Why not lotion myself up? I bathe my baby every day. I talk to him with kind words. Why not do that same thing to me? So if somebody asks me to do something and I don't want to do it, that's why I have the luxury of saying, I'm really sorry, but I can't. Maybe next time.
Well, we tell our children to set those boundaries. We tell our children to make sure that they express no, that makes me uncomfortable, whatever it might be, but yet we don't do it for ourselves. I liked that you used your son as that kind of focus on how would I treat my son? I'm going to treat myself the same. I try to think of my best friend, because our best friend, they could put on any pair of jeans and we're complimenting them. Mm-hmm. When they're down, we're lifting them up. I mean, your best friend, you could never say anything negative or bad about. You're just always their biggest cheerleader. But yet we struggle with doing that for ourselves.
Yeah. Right. And I say it to my boy. I'm teaching him now. He's 6 years old and he is going through this little stage, which I don't understand, but it's okay. Something he does wrong, he'll immediately go, I'm stupid. And I'm like, no, we're not stupid. You made a mistake. People do. You're perfectly fine. But I also, in that moment, I asked him, would you say that to one of your friends? Would you call one of your friends stupid? No, never. So then you don't speak to yourself that way. You speak to yourself the same way, like you said, you would speak to your best friend. You have to look at yourself like your best friend, because in actuality, you really are. Because everybody around you is temporary. Mm-hmm. Nobody's permanent. You can lose a friend tomorrow. You can lose, God forbid, a parent, kids, anybody. But the only person that's never going to leave you ever is you. And so why is that not your bestest friend in the whole world?
And we do only get one life, and we don't know how long it is. I talked about that on a different podcast yesterday. I mean, life's too short to always be picking yourself apart and beating yourself down and not feeling your best.
Mm-hmm. It is, because like I said, when I was a raging bitch, and there were times where I didn't even want to do nothing. But imagine how many things are just now the way I see life, taking a walk and just looking at the trees, the different colors, that everything is just, I can take it in and appreciate it. When people would say that when I was younger, I'd be like, oh my God, like, who cares? You know? But now as an adult, I was like, oh, I get it now, because these are beautiful things. But when you're in such a chaotic mind frame or mindset all the time, you can't appreciate the little things that really do matter. And those are the things that lift you up and make you happy. Not these big, flashy, fancy Gucci bags. You know, that's not it.
It's super superficial, right? It's super, it's on the surface, on the outside.
That's it.
And so now you talked about meditation, and I have talked about this many times before. Meditation is a scary word for a lot of people, because I think we all see it as a certain thing, right? You're cross-legged, you're sitting in India, and you've got to meditate for hours on end and shut your mind off, and it's going to be hard work. And I'm a mover, I'm a shaker. So what kind of meditation do you mean? And how did you get yourself to a place of being able to practice it?
Okay. So I'm a really super busybody. Never been diagnosed, but I can almost guarantee I have like ADHD or something, because I, like, even from corporate before I did this, I'm still in corporate a little bit, but I'll be doing 12 things at one time. And so my boss is like, how do you do 15 people's jobs? And I'm like, I'm just like, boom, 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 like a mover and a shaker. I can't, there is no city, right? But I was always exhausted and doing nothing. You know, I'm really not doing much of anything, but I'm exhausted. I'm depleted, like done. And I needed to start being more present and stop being on autopilot, paying attention to right now, like me and you. Yeah, we're on a podcast, but I'm enjoying our time. What can I learn from this? What can I take on in my life to make it better or to help you be better? You know, but before I would be talking to you on my phone, but not even giving you the respect or what you need from me at that moment. Same thing for my son. When I'm so busy, I can't give him what he needs. And kids need attention. That coming to you and just wanting to show you a picture and you shrugging them off does damage. Already, you're setting little damaging things out when people don't even realize it. So just being more present was something I needed. And the only way that I could find that is by meditating and slowing my mind down and just calm down. It's nothing. Everything's going to be okay. Whatever you need to get done will get done. You don't need to do a whole month's worth of work in one day. Calm yourself down. You'll be fine.
And do you practice for a long time? What does your meditation look like?
So every morning, as soon as I send my son off to school, it's me time. Before I do any clients, before I open a book to talk to anybody, anything, before I do anything from anyone else, it's me. So I'll do a walk, a run, something for me to get going. And then I do either a 10 to 20 minute meditation, depending on how heavy my day was before or how heavy my day is going to look like that day. So it's only about a 10, 15 minutes. They have them for 3 minutes. You know, it doesn't have to be, that's another thing. Like you said, self-love and self-care is different for everybody. So meditation, some people are on retreats meditating for 40 days and 40 nights. No. It's what works for you. Can you give a little bit in the morning and maybe in your mid-afternoon, wherever you can find time? But the truth is, it needs to start being time for you to give yourself something.
Do you use guided meditations?
I do.
Yes, like on an app on your phone or... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the really short and sweet ones. I'm like you as well. I'm a professional multitasker. I'm always moving, but to slow down, and I get anxiety because you get,
too much.
I mean, they have 3 minute breathing exercises on some, even YouTube has free ones where you just, you can put it on and in 3 minutes, you focus on your breath and you're good to go. And it's amazing the health benefits and the wonders that it can do just in such a short period of time.
That's the thing. Even on my lady, there's this one lady that I love so much. I always go back to her when I'm having like a really hard day. And she says, don't remember anything that's going on in the meditation. It's not like you need to write down this book. Oh, I need to do this. No. Subconsciously, your brain absorbs it and kind of just does it for you. So there's nothing extra you have to do. Just listen. And then your brain kind of like, when I tell you meditation has completely turned my life upside down. Completely. I became way more patient. I've been more productive because I've been able to organize the way my chaos is. So it's more of a structured versus just throwing stuff out there.
That's great. It changes all your aspects in your
life. Everything. Better mom, better employee, better business owner, every single aspect, everything.
What are some other tools that you could pull out besides meditation?
Talking to yourself kindly, affirmations, reminding yourself that you are good enough, that you are worthy of whatever it is that you want. You know, another saying that people say is cliche, and I get it, is people can do whatever they put their mind to. And that's a real statement. If you really want to do something, you can do it. Is it going to take work and dedication? Absolutely. But you can do anything.
Manifesting, right? It's putting it out into the universe. It's why, I mean, we're coming into January, vision boards.
Yeah.
You could have a vision board for self-love. I mean, this vision board is just going to be tools and things that I'm going to work on for myself Some of my clients write on their mirror. So when they'll use lipstick,
yeah.
Right? When they get out of the shower, there's like their daily manifest of how they are. I love you. You have a beautiful, you know, that type of thing, just to really have that positive energy and always be reminding yourself of that.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I teach my clients is to do check-ins, like every few hours, every 3 to 4 hours, do a check-in. How am I feeling? What's going on? What's going on internally? Am I okay? Am I upset? And then if you are upset or something's bothering you, try to figure out what it is so that you don't allow that to be a trigger next time. You know that bothers you, so you can kind of, you know, watch how you allow it to affect you. Same thing with you saying setting boundaries with people. When you start to be more mindful and aware, you'll see people's energy. Like when you leave them, am I depleted or do I feel more energized, ready for the world? You know, and the people that are depleting you, you need to minimize how much you allow them to be around. Does that make sense?
Well, like the Debbie Downers or the Susie Bloodsuckers that are taking all of your energy and maybe they're bringing you into a negative space.
Mm-hmm. And then you don't realize it. And then you hang up with them. And then now you're yelling at your kids or your husband. And he's like, what's going on? And you didn't even know how much that really affected you until you say, okay, why did I just yell at my husband? He didn't do anything. Then you have to take a step back. Oh, I was just talking to them and they have all this craziness that put me in a mood. And then he's my innocent bystander that got the beating up.
Well, and one thing that I notice, especially now in today's society, it's not just meeting someone for coffee and you realize they're your negative energy, social media.
Yeah.
And I've seen it with clients where they feel amazing. And then all of a sudden they're sending me a check-in and they feel terrible. And it's because of the accounts they follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, you have to start checking in with yourself. You have to start finding those triggers to see what, you know, is causing the negative energy.
Good point, Lori. Not only social media, everything, the type of music you listen to, the books you read, the type of TV you're watching. If you're watching always beating up and fighting and guns and this, you're going to be in a, because that's another thing meditation made me realize is I was always walking around like this. And I never realized it until I had to start paying attention to, okay, let all your muscles in your face relax. And then I would let them relax. And I was like, wow, I didn't know my whole face was crunched up until I started to let it go.
Right.
You know, so a lot of people are walking around like this, ready to crack. So if somebody bumps their car or, you know, runs them off the road, you got road rage and someone died because that person was already and couldn't take no more.
So that it's as simple as even watching programs that are light and lift you up and not wear you down.
Lori, let's think about it. Marketing is a science. It's not just, oh, put an ad up, you're going to see how it goes. No, there's colors, there's the wording, the way the music sounds. All of that is a way to manipulate people's mind into wanting to go buy that toy or go buy that fancy car or go buy this $1 million house. There's a way. So if they figured out the science to manipulate people into buying things, what do you think they've done to things deeper?
It's so true. It's so true. And it's keeping us stuck. I mean, it's keeping us stuck in a space that it's almost like they're trying to mask and not have us able to reach for that self-love. Because I always say too, like fad diets and some of these extremes that we see, if we truly love ourselves, we would never put ourselves through some of this madness that's out there. But that industry targets you when you're down. They know you're struggling. You're on the struggle bus. You're on your computer and they're throwing all of the ads at you to make you feel even worse, that you need to punish yourself with these solutions. And I mean, it's a $1 billion industry because it you know, they're smart. They got good marketing strategies.
Unfortunately, negative sells. Positivity, no one wants to hear it. If you pay attention to who has the highest followings, somebody that's self-degrading or nothing really positive has huge, crazy followings. It's the all of the crazy keep you in chaos mode.
Well, like the Housewives of Beverly Hills or the different reality TV shows, it is always chaos. And there's been celebrities that have said, I could never be on that show because I'm boring and I'm positive and I don't have any problems and issues. Like there's nothing to make up here. Whereas the ones that have the turmoil, the drama, the chaos, the depression, the, you know, alcoholism, the ups and the downs are the ones that sell. They're the ones that people watch.
Mm-hmm. And people don't even realize while watching makes you more sad and depressed. It doesn't make you feel better. People mm-hmm. feel like, oh, binge watching is my self-care. No, not after. It depends on what you're binge watching. Because do you feel better after it or do you feel worse? Do you want to go eat a carton of ice cream after you're done watching it? You know, that's the thing people need to realize. And that's, those are the things. You are not a fat person. It's because your habits are this way because of what you're feeding your brain and then what your brain is telling you you need to fix it. But again, that's all a way of mindset, a program. It just needs to be changed.
Do you have any other ways in which you help your clients or tell your clients? Because we had like the gratitude or the manifesting meditation. I actually meditate in a sense when I dog walk because it's mm-hmm. outside, it's fresh air. Mm-hmm. I never bring my phone ever mm-hmm. when I see
okay, good.
Their dogs. I'm like, why do you have your phone? You're not present in the moment. And you really are breathing the fresh air and looking at the greenery and being thankful and grateful that you can do it, right? Like this is great, especially if you are really stressed in the middle of the day and you're doing a bunch of business stuff and you're at your computer and you're feeling yourself like this, even if you don't have dogs, just go for a little fresh air walk, even in the rain, it feels good.
Mm-hmm. Even on the meditating, they said you can be vacuuming meditating. You can be reading a book, working out. It's just whenever you take that time to be like, okay, I'm not going to overthink any, our thoughts still going to come in your brain. Yes, but just not the overthinking, you know, because normal people's thoughts are like, I think it's like 12,000 thoughts in a minute or something weird. So if you just break that down to half, imagine how much time you're giving your brain to relax. People don't realize your brain never has a break. When you're sleeping, you're dreaming. So when does it have that rest time to just go like, so when you give your, when I first gave myself that brain break, I felt like a new person. Like I was fresh, like, oh my God, because it gave like a break. And then my brain was like, okay, we can do this again. You gave me a whole little 10 second break. I'm ready, you know? So it's just, it's honestly just finding what works for you. Don't go online looking what works for everybody else. You need to start finding yourself. Get your individuality, not what your parents made you think you need to be, not what society says you need to be. You need to start digging to see who you are. Like for me, I didn't even know that I have a passion for baking, and I'm actually pretty good at it. But I never knew that that was one of my things because I always had at my house, everything was so negative. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. No, no, no. So it just was like, oh, I'm not good enough for that. Like that's, you know, but I am. And I love it. So I just bake whenever I want to because I found a new hobby that I never knew existed for me.
I was just going to say, yeah, that you could almost look for a new hobby as self-love, like start playing guitar or whatever, you know, knit.
One of my clients loves to, she builds these little wood. It was a wooden projector that actually worked. And I was like, oh my God. And she's like, I love it. And it comes to me easy. And she was like, I never knew that this, and it's just by giving you that, your discovery time. Who is it? Who am I? What does that look like to me? What colors do I like? What kind of food do I like? Not what everybody else says. What do I like?
Well, it's almost like finding that little passion project, because especially if you do have a full-time job and it is really negative, we have to pay the bills though. So you got to deal with all the people that are draining you. You got to deal with the grind of the 9 to 5 or whatever it might be. It's often why I'll see some of my clients that'll have their little side hustle and it's not bringing in tons of money. It's because they love it. Mm-hmm. It makes them feel better. It's their little kind of side passion project, kind of like a hobby, but they enjoy doing, and it shows, but it also lightens them when they do have to spend most of the day doing the heavy stuff.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. Yeah.
What would you say to the listeners who are out there that are like, where do I even start? Like, how do I even get started on? Because I think we all think, I love myself. Yeah, I have self-love, but we don't know, like, do we have enough? Are we doing the right things? Where do you start?
I would start simple, just to get a little bit of a scale of where you are and where you should go, I would write down how much of my day do I do things for just me? Just because when you put things on paper, it brings things out that people didn't realize. Because you'll write down on the paper, oh, I took care of my son or my dogs. I did this. I went to work. I did that for them. I did that for her. And then you're like, nothing for you. Not even a check-in, not even a go outside to take a break, to just breathe for a second, not a nothing. And then you still want to give more at the evening to someone else or something else.
Well, and I think moms do that. We think because we do something for our children, it's like an extension of us. Mm-hmm. And it's probably why bubble baths or taking a bath is always under self-care. And it's not because I hate baths. Like, I absolutely hate them. You can shut the door. You can lock the door, hopefully. And it's that zen for 5 or 10 minutes where you just, again, can shut your brain off. Mm-hmm. You're not hearing the mom, I need, mom, where's that? Mm-hmm. Mom, I need a ride too. You get a moment to just have you time.
Peace of mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, that is free.
It could be sitting in a pedicure chair and just, it doesn't even mean that you're going anywhere and your flip-flops are showing off your feet. You just want to have that moment of silence to yourself and some time for you.
And I just want to be very clear with moms, wives, husbands, doesn't make you a bad person. And it doesn't say you don't love your kids. It actually means you love them more, because when you come out from that 5 minute break, you're a more positive mom versus staying in there and just jumping down their throats because they said hi to you. I'm like, get away, you know? So you did more damage there versus taking that 5 seconds, baby, I will be right back. Give me 5 minutes. You come back out. What is it I can do for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to hear that from my mother a lot growing up, because she was a stay-at-home mom. She gave up her career and she said, you didn't have the attention because you were so mad that you were giving everything of yourself to your family. Everybody was taking from you and you didn't have your job. That was your, you know, passion and that you were really good at. And I see it a lot with moms where, and then what happens is years later, we have the blame game, right? Where I wish I had had those boundaries. I wish I had so I like what you said about your son being 6. And if you change some of your things now, he's picking up on that and he's not waiting till he's 35 to learn them. Mm-hmm. And that's so you're setting a good role model for your kids in being selfish a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's honestly, that to be 100% honest with you, that is the main reason why I unfortunately wanted to be better for myself, but in turn for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually changed my entire world and I love
it. Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Really.
What's your last kind of mic drop? I like to finish with like a one liner or one thing for the listeners about self-love.
Honestly, just live your life and with no apologies. You don't need to apologize for who you are. Love that person and show up as that person and shine bright.
I love that. I love that. Shine bright, light.
Yeah.
Well, you're certainly a positive light. And I'm so glad that you came on this podcast. And I'm so glad that you, again, I just feel lighter talking about self-love. I haven't even done anything. I haven't meditated. And it's a reminder of, when was the last time I checked in with myself? When was the last time I took a moment for myself?
Yeah. Maybe you should start a list, Lori, and see, keep your day-to-day list and make sure we get you on that list, because it's very important and you'll just see. Simple, fast, and it comes back fast. It's not like this, I need to be doing this for 6 months before I see something. No, I'm saying like immediately, mm-hmm. immediate turnarounds.
Well, and it is like, it's like a muscle group. I tell my clients that too, in terms of anything in self-development land, self-confidence, esteem, whatever it might be. We go to the gym and we train legs every week or whatever it might be, our muscles. We have to keep reminding ourselves to do the self-care and the self-love and dig deep inside. It's mm-hmm. not like we can do it today, maybe for a week, and then we just leave it.
Yes, it's constant.
So it's that reminder of, especially heading into a nice, fresh new year, you know, you make it your year, you make it your time to really dig deep within. And it's not hard work. It's not like a grueling workout. It's just small little things that you can do to feel better.
Yeah. And the more you do it, the more you feel better, the more you want to do it, then you start expanding and wanting to do it more, and you'll just see it come back. But another thing I want to leave for people is you are your own self advocate. No one's going to stick up for you like you will. So start having your voice and say what's on your mind and live your truth.
That was a mic drop moment. Okay. I love that. I always finish my podcast like I finish my new book that came out. At the end of each chapter, I end with, rescue your own damn self by finding self-love in excess, knowing that you are your own being and you deserve to put yourself first. We only live one life. It's short. So start finding that self-love now and live sassily ever after.
That's cute. That's
thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, friends. For more sassy and magical adventures, be sure to check out my website, lauriemork.com, or follow me on Instagram at lauri.mork. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, where each and every week we release a new episode featuring queens, kings, divas, vixens, gods and goddesses, and just some totally awesome guests who are ruling their kingdom and narrating their own feisty fairy tales. It's time to rescue your own damn self and live sassily ever after.